right. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to all of the home congregation here and all the visitors. Welcome in Jesus' name on this new year of 2019. What a joy to be in a new year. Amen. I enjoy New Year's Day, and we had an event at our place on New Year's Eve. It was a joyful occasion as we celebrated all that the Lord had done in the old year of 2008, or at that time it wasn't an old year yet, but the year of 2018, and all that we anticipate God to do in the new year. I was just excited. We just had a time of celebration with around five families praying in the new year, and it was a real joy. Yeah, we just had a blessed time. Okay, well, the Lord has laid a message on my heart, but before we get into it, can we stand for a word of prayer here? Father, we do rejoice in you, Lord, for this new year of 2019. And Father, you know, you've laid a message on my heart in regards to that somewhat. And I pray, Lord, that you would give me your grace and your wisdom. And Father, I pray that you would enable me to feed your people this morning. Lord, you know, we are your people, the sheep of your pasture, and we need fed from your hand. And so, Lord, we look to you. I believe, Lord, that you will give me the grace, Lord, to sufficiently feed the flock of God. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Well, I'm going to divert a little bit from the Sermon on the Mount that I've been sharing in the last few times, at least the last two times, because of the new year. And so I have a message the Lord has laid on my heart. I'll get back into the Sermon on the Mount, you know, probably the next time again. But the Lord has laid a message on my heart this morning. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 1. And I'll read the first two verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to share that with us as a congregation. If you're one of the faithful, here it says it was for the church at Ephesus and to the faithful which are in Christ Jesus. So grace and peace be to you this morning. If you're among the faithful, grace and peace be to you. Yeah, in this new year, I'd like to, the title of the message is Our High and Lofty Position in Our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd just like to go through the book of Ephesians here a bit and show us who we are in Christ. I know many of us, you know, we know who we are in Christ, and that's a blessing. But sometimes we need to be renewed in our thoughts and renewed in our mind, and just for a message to come afresh and anew upon our hearts. And as I thought about the year of 2019, I thought about Ephesians here, and just, you know, the great and noble position we have in Jesus Christ. I mean, we have such a position, such a wonderful calling, first of all, and then position in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I'd like to share on this morning, is our high and lofty position in our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you may be experiencing this by faith, while others may either need to be renewed in their mind as to this position that we have. And maybe others are not experiencing this position, either because of discouragement or sin, or things in your life that you're not experiencing. The next verse here where it says that we can experience all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, you know, either wherever you're at this morning, I trust that your spirit will rise up and take hold of this truth of who we are in Christ. If you at all have a heart after the Lord, you're in pursuit after godliness, you're in pursuit after holiness, you're in pursuit after the Lord, I trust your heart will somehow, even in your place of discouragement this morning, rise up and take a hold of this truth. What a calling we have. I mean, what a position we have. What a wonderful place we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. A wonderful, high and lofty place. As we enter this new year of 2019, I'm excited with that truth of who I am in Christ, knowing my position in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to unveil that here this morning as we go through this chapter and part of chapter 2. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. So Paul starts by sharing with the church, blessed, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessed you, church at Ephesus, and all the faithful in Christ Jesus, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Heavenly places. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing that God wants to endow upon us. He tells us that. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And that heavenly places, I believe that the rest of the book of Ephesians basically unveils the heavenly blessings that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. But more specifically, chapter 1 and chapter 2 I'd like to cover here this morning. Then he says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. You know, God basically takes it for granted that we understand that part of this blessing is that we've been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame. I was just thinking of that as I was studying for the message here. I was, what a position we have, without blame. I mean, God cannot, through Jesus Christ, His Son, cannot put any blame upon my heart as I walk with the Lord from day to day. I got excited about that. That's one of the all spiritual blessings that we experience, in that we can walk in holiness before Him and that we can be without blame in our daily walk with the Lord. What a joy. What a place we have. Faultless, sinless, blameless before our God. Having predestinated us, and it says before Him in love. You know, we have a love relationship. Again, that's one of the great spiritual blessings that we have. And a love relationship. This all takes place through our love relationship with our Heavenly Father. Then he says in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. And again, it says having predestinated, pre-planned. God pre-planned for us. Welcome, Michael and Pam. Good to see us. God predestinated us to be adopted, to be a part of a family. And that's one of the all spiritual blessings that we experience. We're part of a family. We've been adopted into the family of God. We were dead in sins and trespasses and iniquities and sold under sin. Here we are. God pre-planned to have us adopted into a family. I'm part of a family this morning. I'm part of the family of God, and so are you if you've been born of the Spirit of God. What a joy. What a joy to be part of and it was according to the good pleasure of His will. I mean, He adopted us because it was His good pleasure. It's His good pleasure to adopt us into a family. And so this morning, that's another one of the spiritual blessings that we have, that we experience, that we have inherited through Jesus Christ, God's Son. To the praise of the glory of His grace, then it says, and again, it's to the praise of, that phrase there is mentioned three times in chapter 1 here, to the praise of the glory of His grace. And you just watch. I think it's talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This first one is more talking about the Father. You know, the Father having adopted us into the family of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. It says here in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. So it's to the praise of His grace. You know, we cannot boast of ourselves. And as chapter 2 brings out, to the praise of the glory of His grace, we have been made accepted in the Beloved, in God's Son. What a spiritual blessing. What a high and lofty position we have. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Truly, I can say this morning as I read this chapter, I'm in a heavenly place. I've been adopted into the family of God. I am blameless and faultless and sinless before my God as I walk in the light of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, I'll read to verse 12 here. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of the glory of His glory who first trusted in Christ. That's as far as I wanted to read. So verse 7, speaking about Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Brother and sister, this morning, I know some of us have terrible backgrounds. And we all, you know, we would all be there. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But some of us, you know, lived a life of sin and wickedness. Others of us just seen our need that we were lost and undone without Jesus Christ. Either way, we've been redeemed. We've experienced redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Brother, sister, this morning we have been forgiven. Cleansed, washed, redeemed through the precious blood of God's Son. Here we sit this morning as redeemed children of God according to the riches of His grace. God's grace has abounded in a rich way. I think if each one of you would share your testimony, you would acknowledge that the grace of God has abounded in a rich way upon your life. And besides that, in the scope of all of this, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. I mean, I confess I need the wisdom of God daily in my life. And prudence. Prudence is foresight. You know that I need that. And He says He's abounded toward us in the scope of His redemption, in the scope of our position in Christ, in the scope of our standing as redeemed children of God. He abounds toward us. Daily in our lives, in all wisdom and prudence, foresight, giving us, you know, foresight for our families, our ministry, the ministry callings that He has upon our lives. He gives us foresight. He enables us to see ahead and know what, you know, how to walk through this with, you know, with an individual that God has called us to minister to, right now I'm seeking the Lord for His wisdom and His prudence, His foresight. We have some cottages next door there, and 30 of them right next door as you come into our driveway, and there they are. You know, they're lost souls, most of them. The other night, I went outside. I was getting ready to go out for the mail, and it was about 9 o'clock in the evening, and everything was quiet outside. And here a couple had apparently been arguing in their home, in the cottage there, and it spilled out into the open air. And my, were they raising a ruckus, just shouting and cursing each other. You know, God has just given me a deep burden for those souls, and I want His wisdom and His prudence upon my heart to reach Him. It says He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. Brother, sister, this morning in this year of 2019, maybe you don't understand exactly the will of God for your life. Keep your heart before Him. Keep your heart before Him, brother, sister. Keep your heart before Him. He wants to unveil the mystery of His will. Sometimes His will is a mystery, but it says here, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. You know, He has a will for you, which He's purposed in Himself, and it's His good pleasure to work out that will in your life. Isn't that beautiful? He has a will that He has in Himself for us. A will, a desire, a purpose for us. And He wants to make that known to each one of you. And it's His good pleasure to work out His glorious will in your life. Brings Him much pleasure. In whom we are, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him. And I love this scripture. You know, in the fullness of time, when I think that speaks about, you know, the day of Christ's return. He will gather together in one. And I think He's saying here basically that He wants to make us so one with heaven. You know, as we experience these all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, we become so much like heaven that we are just brought together. I mean, it's almost an automatic thing or a natural thing that we come together in one. He gathers everything together. In heaven and in earth, He brings it together into oneness. And as redeemed children of God, we can walk in such a way that we are walking in heavenly places. And it's just, like I said, kind of a natural thing for the two to come together. In whom also, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Now He goes into an inheritance. He said, we have obtained an inheritance. And I know, you know, part of that is the eternal future. But there's also the here and now. The inheritance that we possess today. And I'm going to get into that a bit more in the next, in verse 18. But we've obtained an inheritance. And we've been predestined again. I mean, it's amazing. You know, God is saying, you know, I didn't just think this up now. I thought this up from eternity past. I mean, I thought this up before the foundation of the world. That you are ordained to receive an inheritance. Brother, sister, we know often an inheritance is after the testator dies. And, yeah, the testator you call it, right? Yeah. And so an inheritance is such that after the one passes on, that the inheritance, the heir is then given the inheritance. He possesses it. He obtains it. And, you know, God had that in mind 4,000 years before the testator died. Before Christ died, He had in mind that He had in His will that after Jesus dies, you're going to obtain an inheritance. And this is all for the saints of the past, I believe, in that, you know, I don't know all the dynamics of the Old Testament, but specifically for us in the New. You know, Christ, God had that in mind, in His heart. After Jesus dies, you're going to obtain an inheritance. Part of that has to do with the eternal future, but part of it, the here and now. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of the glory of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. And again, I think we see the Trinity here. Again, this term that we should be to the praise of His glory. It doesn't mention His grace here, but it is glory. Who first trusted in Christ. And I think it's bringing out Christ is the essence of these verses that I just read from 7 to 12. You know, that Christ is the one who, through Him, we have wisdom and prudence. Through Him, we have eternal redemption. Through Him, we have obtained an inheritance. And through Him, we are made one with the heavenlies. Verse 13, In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Here we see the Holy Spirit. That's kind of what I see here, the Trinity being brought out, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is brought in here, in whom also ye trusted after ye heard the word of your salvation, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And then it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. And brother, sister, we know the word earnest basically means the down payment. The down payment of our inheritance. So if we, I'm just amazed that if you think of down payment, we think of 10%. You know, is that what, I mean, what's heaven going to be like if we think of the 10% now that we experience in Jesus Christ? I don't know, but basically what that word means is the down payment of our inheritance. You know, when a down payment is made here, it's like, you know, the one who has bought the property is making sure by giving that down payment until settlement time. And that's kind of the Holy Spirit is like the surety that this is a sure inheritance, even the eternal future beyond this life. So we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise until the redemption of the purchased possession. Then it says again, unto the praise of His glory. So brother, sister, we have the Father, we have the Son, we have the Holy Spirit. What a position we have in Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, I should say. You know, we're in all of them. I mean, we're in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it's through Jesus Christ, and what a position we have this morning. As we take a look at our high and lofty position in our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this was a prayer for Paul, for the church at Ephesus, and remember, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, why did Paul pray this prayer? Why did he pray and say, I want to give you the spirit, you church at Ephesus, I want to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God's Son, Jesus Christ? And that's why it's important, brethren. That's why it's important. You know, brother and sister, to be in the Word, because it's in the knowledge of God. It's in the knowledge of Him that He turns that knowledge into wisdom and revelation in our lives. So, brother and sister, let's be in the Word this year of 2019. Saturate ourselves in the Word of God. Feed upon His Word. Jesus' words, they are spirit and they are life. And as we feed upon the Word of God, that knowledge is turned to wisdom and revelation. And this was Paul's prayer for them, that this wisdom and revelation, and his desire was that this wisdom and revelation would be turned to this. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. And that goes back, I think the hope of His calling, and the next one, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Those two are specifically somewhat pointing back to the previous verses that he had shared, previous things that he had shared, and just broadening the thought. So he prays and he says, the eyes of your understanding, I pray, church at Ephesus, is that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. First of all, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. And if I can just expand on that a little, sometime I'd like to finish the rest of the book here. But read chapter 3 sometime. I think chapter 3 specifically brings out this point of showing us the power of God's calling in our lives. Paul specifically brings out the power of the calling that he was experiencing in chapter 3. Brings out the power of the calling of God upon his life. So there's a powerful calling that God has for each one of you and I. Each one of us has a calling. Each one of us has a will and a purpose for us. And again, he wants to make known the mystery of his will. He wants to make that known. He wants us to understand. He wants to give us all wisdom and prudence to that end, that we can understand the will of God, the calling of God for my life. So young people, maybe today you think to yourself, you know, you're entering into that area, you know, that period of your life, you're thinking, what is God's calling? What is God's calling for me? Well, God wants to open the eyes of your understanding. Just continue to place your heart before Him. Sometimes it may be just being a calling to be faithful at the workplace and in the home. But He wants to unveil a calling that He has, more of a life calling He has for you sometime. So be assured of that. God wants to open the eyes of your understanding that you can know the hope of your calling. You can understand, this is God's calling for me. Many times I've observed young people enough that many times God has a calling for you, a specific calling, right in your youthfulness. But I'll leave that between you and the Lord. You seek Him. This year of 2019, He wants to open the eyes of our understanding that we can know the hope of our calling. Secondly, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now, I just love this verse. I might park on this one a little. You know, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You know, I think of an inheritance. You know, suppose I would receive an inheritance of a ranch out west. And, you know, 1,000-acre ranch, and that would be my inheritance. Or maybe 2,000 acres. You know, some of those ranches are huge. And, you know, in that ranch, I would not have, I hardly know yet what's on the ranch. I hardly, you know, I've maybe lived for 20, 30 years, but I've not walked across that whole ranch and discovered what all is there. God wants us to, He says here, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. He wants us to understand the riches that we possess. Now suppose under my ranch, if you live down south, you might have an oil field under that ranch that you don't know about, but you're out to discover what's on your inheritance. Or digging around, you find there's gems and there's gems and rubies and diamonds on your ranch. And again, it takes a discovery. Like Brother Paul shared one time, you know, rubies and diamonds and jewels are not just to be plucked off of trees; they have to be dug for. Sometimes there's a digging. Sometimes there's in this inheritance, we need to walk about, dig around. And see what actually is ours. What actually we rightfully possess in Jesus Christ. There's a need to dig around, walk around, and seek. Well, very clearly, God wants us to understand the riches of the glory of our inheritance. Beautiful. He wants us to understand the riches that we possess in Jesus Christ. And that's part of that all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God wants us to experience these things. He wants us to know them. He wants us to possess them. He wants us to internalize them. So that was Paul's church for the prayer for the church at Ephesus. Church, I pray for you that you can experience the riches, that you can the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you can know what is the riches of the glory of your inheritance, of the inheritance that you have in Jesus Christ, God's Son. So, brother and sister, let's dig around, let's discover, let's endeavor to understand what is rightfully ours. A 1,000-acre ranch, unless I walk around and maybe dig around, I might not know what is rightfully mine. And that's where the necessity comes at times to go on a discovery trail. So, and may that be our heart for this year of 2019. Let's discover. Each one of us, let's go on a discovery of what is rightfully ours. What is mine in this year, 2019? What is rightfully mine? What have I inherited? What have I inherited and don't know about? What have I inherited that's buried underneath the surface? I need to dig a bit. Just kick the dirt aside and maybe there's a gem or a dime or a ruby. Okay, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So here's the third thing that Paul mentions to the church at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ. Remember that. To the church at Ephesus and to the faithful. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us for to believe. God wants us to experience the exceeding greatness of His power in our lives in this year of 2019. He wants the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened that we can understand who we are in Christ. In other words, let me rephrase it. That we can understand the exceeding greatness of His power to usward. And then He goes on to explain, He says, this power, according to the working of His mighty power, this power that He wants us to experience, that is rightfully ours, this is the power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Not only this power raised Christ from the dead, but it ascended Him into heaven and set Him at the right hand of the Father. This power Jesus Christ wants us to experience. And we'll read more about that in chapter 2. I think this power here, the eyes of understanding being enlightened that we can experience this power is more so brought out in a greater way in chapter 2. Whereas, like a few of the other things, he was pointing back, the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of our inheritance. But here he elaborates more about it in chapter 2. But here it says, like I said, He wrought this power in Christ, both when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. And where was Christ positioned? Where was Christ placed at the right hand of the Father? It says, far above. Brother, sister, maybe today you're experiencing a grapple with sin and Satan and principalities and powers. Here it says that Christ was set far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Praise God, we can look forward to that day when in that which is to come, we will not face the devil any longer. We know that by Scripture. But But you know, isn't that which is to come? We can look forward to that day with great joy. But it's for the here and now also that Christ has been raised. Christ has been raised, has been seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all these elements of this world that we experience. I mean, that are here. You know, principality and power and might, and you know, Satan sometimes uses people to antagonize us. And last night we were there was a group of young people at our place, and they were having a Bible study, and we talked about suffering. They talked about suffering, and I sat in that Bible study, and I was just so blessed with the thoughts that were being shared. You know, Christians who suffer in communist countries, they often, you know, they sometimes we look at them and say, you know, we pray for their release. But, it, you know, Paul said to the church at Philippi, so much at the fellowship of the gospel. Let me just turn there. You're experiencing the fellowship of the gospel from the first day until now. And he talked about his sufferings. Paul was saying, they are fellowshipping with my suffering. They are fellowshipping with my bonds. And Paul was at a place of rejoicing in prison. He was not at a place of trying to get out of prison and trying to get out of his bonds. And why am I bringing that out? Well, just simply to say, you know, as we look into the future and here and now, you know, some of us have suffered reproach, evil spoken of. That's persecution. Maybe not so much physical affliction. But either way, Christ wants us to embrace suffering. Paul says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. Christ wants us to embrace sufferings. And we can look forward to that day when we are in prison or persecuted or even receive physical affliction, that the power of God will be there for us to sustain us, to keep us, to enable us, and that we will not be delivered into the hand of our adversary, the enemy, the devil, getting us to a place where we are, you know, we feel beaten down and oppressed and just. But rather, you know, as I see the suffering saints of old, the martyrs, they were at a place of rejoicing. Look at Stephen, who said, I see into the heavenlies. I see the glory of. I see Jesus Christ standing. I think he said at the right hand of the Father or something like that. There he was, just had a heart of full rejoicing as they cast those stones upon him. So we can look forward to our future in 2019. We live in a wicked world. We live in a world where there's sin is abounding more and more. And more we see that an opposition against Christianity and holiness and godliness. But we can look forward to this year, even if at the end of the year we'll be persecuted for our faith. Let's establish in our minds who we are in Jesus Christ. Jesus has been seated far above all principality and power, might and dominion. Let's put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. And I won't get into the church aspect of it this morning, but here it brings in the church as His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. I'll just say this morning, I urge you and I encourage you, if you're not plugged into a congregation, please, in this year of 2019, become a vital part of a body. So essential. Jesus is ahead, and it says His body is what fills all in all. I don't really believe we can experience the fullness of Jesus Christ without being part of a body. Okay, chapter 2. Now, he goes into he talks about Christ here in chapter 1 and chapter 2 now. He says, and you hath he quickened. First of all, talking about Christ being raised from the dead. Christ ascending to the right hand of the Father. The power of God. You know, the power of God working both of that in the life of in the life of Jesus Christ. But now he says, And you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Brothers and sisters, think of yourself this morning. You were dead in trespasses, absolutely dead. Dead in your trespasses and sins. And Jesus Christ came and breathed life in you. Came and quickened your spirit. Made it alive. Oh, how thankful I am for God's Son. Only through Jesus Christ could anything have happened in my life. He quickened. He made my spirit alive. Here it says, He hath quickened us who were dead in trespasses and sins. Were in time past, He walked according to the course of this world. We all know that we walk after the world. We walk after carnality and sin and wickedness and evil. And that was us. That was you and I. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That we know the prince of the power of the air is evil powers of darkness, Satan himself. We walked according to the prince of this world, the spirit that still, you could say, still worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation or our behavior in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I think we all know that in ourselves. We were there one day. Lusts of the flesh, just fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. But you, brother and sister, as He quickened this morning, you have He quickened and made alive. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, rich in compassion, that word mercy basically means compassion. Rich in compassion for His great love wherewith He loved us. I just love that. You know, God loved us greatly, didn't He? God could have told me, God could have said, Mel, I'm done with you. I'm done with you. You're going your own way. You want your own way. You don't want my ways. You want to live in sin. You want to give yourself to the dictates of your flesh. I'm just done with you. But here it says, for His great love wherewith He loved us, He had mercy on us. Compassion. And even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He's made us alive with His Son, Jesus Christ. Made us alive! Brother and sister, here we sit this morning, alive. Alive. Alive in Jesus Christ, God's Son. How grateful I am when I think of my sin and my iniquity and my wickedness. How grateful I am that Jesus came and breathed life. Life into my spirit. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Truly we can say this morning it's the grace of God. It's not of And it brings that out a little later here. And has raised us up together. And I love this word together. There's the exceeding greatness of His power being worked out in our lives. This word together comes here in verse 5. It's together. He's quickened us together with Christ. Here in verse 6, He has raised us up together. Now it's a raising up out of the death of our sin, out of the death of our iniquity. Out of our bondage, He's raised us up together. Isn't that beautiful? I am joined with Christ. I'm joined with God's Son. I've been raised up together with Christ in newness of life. So as you look at this year of 2019, recognize I've been raised up together with Christ. Or maybe this morning you're discouraged. Or maybe you aren't yet in your sin. You have the opportunity this morning to be raised up together with Christ. Raised up together with Him to experience that exceeding greatness of His power to those who believe. You know, for some of us, maybe we just need to be renewed in this thought. I'm few years ago, I heard a message along these lines, and it just helped me in my position, understanding my position in Christ. I think I was there, but I didn't really understand it totally. And that tremendously helped me, and I hope this message helps us this morning, helps some of us, you know, to understand our position. We are raised up together with Christ to walk in newness of life. Jesus says, Paul says to the church at Corinth, he says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And then he says, behold, all things are become new. All things. He says all things. And I know there's a sanctifying, purifying process that God takes us through. But I think what God is bringing out there in Corinthians is a seed of newness is there. Whenever God's Spirit comes upon your heart, puts His finger on something in your life, if you respond, if there's a response, that seed of newness is there. It will grow. There will be fruit. There's germ. There will be fruit forthcoming. Because all things have become new. That newness is in every area, has touched every area of your life. Anyway, and has raised us up together, made us sit together. Not only raised us up together, now look at this, brother and sister. He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There we are now, seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, every evil name that is named. There we sit. With Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. Beautiful position that we have in God's Son. Then he says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, God, in this year of 2019, wants you to be a display of his grace. He wants to show those around you the power of his grace. The influence of His grace upon your life. The grace of God that has abounded toward you. It says that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. He wants to show the world. He wants to show those cottages next door to me. Those people there. The exceeding riches of God's grace in my life. In our home. In our family. You have neighbors, you have friends, you know lost people, fellow employees. God wants to show the riches of His grace toward them. Brother and sister, they're a lost soul. It just gripped me. You know, recently I was reading a book on church matters, and Gary Miller brings out, you know, he brought out people who adopt children. He said, you know, some people adopt for the sake of, you know, they want children. They want it for fulfillment for themselves, for satisfaction for themselves. Other people see that soul and they say, somebody needs to reach that individual. Somebody needs to reach that child. And I just saw the difference. I saw the difference and realized, you know, it just gripped my heart. Who's going to reach my neighbor over there in those cottages? Who's going to reach him? 30-some cottages, basically all of them are, I would say, you know, knowing them, they don't know the Lord. Who's going to reach him? Brother, sister, who's going to reach your neighbor? Who's going to reach the employee that you work with? The one you know down the street. Who doesn't know the Lord. You know, God wants to show the exceeding riches of His grace. This year of 2019, but not only this year of 2019, in ages to come. Years to come, right on into eternity. God wants to show the riches of His grace that you've experienced in your life. He wants to show it, manifest it, declare it through your life. Your testimony. And I love it. You know, it says in His kindness toward us. He wants to show that He is a compassionate God. Compassionate. A kind Father. You know, as we reach out in kindness and love to those around us, people see that our Heavenly Father is compassionate. He's merciful. He's kind. In verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." I think we can all say that this morning, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." I think we can all say that, I trust we can, that it's not of any works that I've done, but it's His grace. It's His grace that saved me. It's His grace that set me in this position, this high and lofty position in Jesus Christ. I'm seated with Him at the right hand of the Father. I've been raised up together with Him. It's by His grace upon my life. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So God before ordained that we should walk in good works. You know, some of us have tried to, in our own strength, we've been religious, we've tried that route, and we've tried to fulfill the commandments of God in our own strength and doings. And of course, we've fallen flat on our face. But God ordained the commandment of God. The commandment is holy and just and good. And God ordained that we should walk in good works. And thank God we've been brought to a place where we saw we can't do it of our own strength. Nevertheless, God wants good works to flow out of our lives. And as we walk with His Son, Jesus Christ, it's a natural outflow of the life of Christ in us. Okay, verse 11. I'm going to read probably from verse 11 to 19. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who has made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." I'm sorry, I'll conclude there. So just showing us this morning, you know, we have so much to be thankful for. You know, here Paul is simply bringing out how the Gentiles have been ushered in. And we have been made, it says in... says that at one time we were without Christ, being aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. We know that God's people, the children of Israel, were His chosen people in the Old Testament. We were strangers to the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers to the covenants of promise. And I realized there was a way that one could come into Israel and become a part of God's people in essence. But unless that took place, you were an alien. You were outside of the covenants of promise. You were outside of hope. You were outside of God. Without hope and without God in the world, you were outside of that. Praise God. It says in verse 13, "Now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off." You know, we were the ones that were far off. Christ could have said, God could have said, "I'm just going to forget about them. You know, these are my chosen people. I'm going to forget about the Gentiles. They're far off." And most of the Gentile nations, I mean, they were in deep iniquity and sin. I mean, some of those things that I've heard about what those kings did to their to other nations, if they would have in wartime, how that they would destroy women with you know, women who were women bearing children and killed the children and everyone. I mean, they committed tremendous atrocities and wickedness. And they were just awful. We Gentiles were far off. And I consider those Gentile nations. We were far off. God could have said, I'm going to wipe the Gentiles off the earth. Or I'm just going to forget about ever giving them a hope of the gospel that I've given to my people, the children of Israel. So we were far off, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He is our peace, who has made both one, Jew and Gentile. In Jesus Christ we are made one. And He's broken down that middle wall, partition between us. And all those commandments that even the Jewish nation could not keep, He's slain. He's slain the commandments He's slain the enmity of those commandments. You know, in other words, is a way we realize we were sinners. And of course, it put us in a sinful state. He's slain that as a way to redemption and salvation. All of that has been slain, the way to attain righteousness through the commandments and through good works. And it says that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. He came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So almost all of us, probably every one of us in this room, is a Gentile. My guess is none of us have Jewish blood in us. All of us are Gentiles by nature and by birth. And we were far off, but we've been made nigh by the blood of Christ and made to drink of the same Spirit of them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. This morning, through Jesus Christ, we Gentiles have access to the Father. Through Jesus Christ, through His Spirit within us, we have access to the Father. Access. We can come to the Father just as any Jew does. We can come to the Father and say, Abba, Father, when we're in fear, when we're troubled, when we're tempted, when we're tried. This year of 2019, that's our position. We can come to the Father boldly. Boldly coming to the throne of grace and say, Father, I need Your assistance. I need Your help. Coming to our great High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and saying, Lord Jesus, I'm tempted. I'm being tried. I need Your grace in this hour. We have the same access than any converted Jew, than any Jew does, to them that were not. You have the same access to the Father. Okay, in closing, I'll read verses 19 through 22. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens, praise God, fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for inhabitation of God through the Spirit. So again, brother and sister, like it says here, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but we are fellow citizens with the saints. I mean, you and I, brother, sister, this morning are fellow citizens of the household of God throughout the world. That great big family of God that's going to be in heaven. I mean, that's one aspect of heaven I can't hardly wait for. I can't hardly wait to see people from every kindred, tongue, nation, and tribe, and whatever other wording is there. I can't hardly wait for that. I am looking forward with great joy to that day, to see my, you know, the Goomba converts that are over in Africa, but in general, just people from all across the world. Brother, sister, here we are this morning. We are part of that family. We're a part of that great family. We're fellow citizens of the saints, fellow citizens with the saints all across the world. The saints, the household of God. We're fellow citizens with all of them. What a position. What a blessing to be a part of that great big family. And we also are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. You know, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, I think the prophets, you know, they prophesied about the coming Messiah, and the apostles more or less laid the foundation in the early church stage. And we are built upon that foundation, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Then it says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. And I'd just like to park a little bit on Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. You know, cornerstones are placed when there's a mason project taking place, cornerstones are placed at each corner of the building. And then there's usually a plumb line that is lined up so that the wall is straight and perpendicular, and everything is in its place. So as you consider this year of 2019, let's keep our eyes on the chief cornerstone. It says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. You know, as you think of yourself as a part of this congregation, or more so right now, a part of the big family of God, We're building upon the foundation. We're building upon a foundation, the apostles and prophets. But Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And let's keep ourselves lined up in that wall, that our stone isn't jutting out one way or protruding out where it could injure someone or just a nuisance there. But let's keep ourselves that we are building according to that plumb line. And part of building in the plumb line is knowing who we are in Christ. Realizing, Jesus Christ, I am seated with Him in heavenly places. I am established in Christ. I am complete in Christ. I've been raised up together with Christ. That's who I am. I've been raised up. There I am seated with Christ, far above all principality and power, might and dominion. There I am. And that's the first establishment, that's the essential thing that I believe it takes to be able to really build effectually on this wall. Knowing who we are in Christ by faith. I know I am seated. I know that I can, this is for me, to experience all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's for me. And as we keep our eyes on that chief cornerstone, realizing who we are in Christ, realizing our position in Christ, we can build and be an effectual, lively stone in the wall. Peter calls it lively stones. We are living stones. And the last verse, verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You know, he brings it down to the church at Ephesus. I think verse 21, he's more looking at the church universal. But then he brings it down. He says, you also are builded together in habitation of God through the Spirit. So brother, sister, when I think, let's bring it down to our congregation here. We are builded. Do we desire, as a congregation here, to be in habitation of God through the Spirit? Let's, this year of 2019, realize, recognize, who we are in Christ, our position in Christ, that we have a high and lofty position in our Lord Jesus Christ. So God bless you. I'm thinking maybe I would have a time of those who want to come up here and just acknowledge afresh and anew, declare and say, Lord, this is me. I believe and declare once again, this is my position in Christ. Or if you want to come up here and renew yourself in faith, realizing I've kind of gotten discouraged, I've kind of got my focus off of Jesus Christ and who I am in Him. And this morning's message, quicken your spirit once again, realizing afresh and anew who I am in Christ. Maybe you want to come up here and declare this to the Lord. Or maybe this morning you're discouraged and you're in sin. And there needs to be repentance. You realize there's a blockage. I won't be able to experience any of these spiritual blessings unless there's repentance. And brother, sister, when there's repentance, let faith be enjoined to that. And faith take a hold and realize, I am now also blameless. I am now also cleansed and washed and redeemed. And this is my position as well. So whether you come up here, feel free to do that, or whether you just in your own private of your home, let's let this year of 2019 be a time when we realize who we are in Christ, our position, our high and lofty position in our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless.
Quicken. Raised up, accepted, adopted. That's what Jesus died and paid for each one of us. And not for us only, but for the whole world. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Mel, for preaching the Word of God. And as Brother Mel encouraged us, may we hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us personally, and to us as a congregation, and press into that fullness of the blessing of the Lord, personally and corporately together. Praise God. I'll just give an opportunity here for anyone who has something on their heart to share, maybe a word of testimony, or a word of confession. Pray for me. Anyone have something on their heart to share this morning in response to the message?
I appreciate the message. It ties into something I feel the Lord has been recently trying to teach me. And the devil will try to tell you that, okay, you got angry, so you're an angry person. Or he will try to tell you that, okay, you sin, so you're just a rotten sinner. You're no good for nothing. You'll never change. And this is Ephesians 1:4 here. It says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God did not create us to be sinners. He predestinated us to be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself. God created us to be His children. And the devil will try to put us in bondage and condemn us and make us and convince us. He'll tell us over and over and over again, see what you did? You're no good. You're whatever. You fill in the blank. And I'm thankful for the message, and I'm thankful for what God's trying to do in my heart and my life. Yeah. Just because you've lost doesn't mean you're a loser. You're only a loser if you give up. And the scripture says a righteous man will fall 7 times and will rise again. So let's stop listening to the devil. And let's, if we mess up, just say, okay, I messed up. That's not how God created me to be. That's not who He created me to be. Let's get back up again and get encouragement from others if we need it and keep going.
Amen. There's forgiveness with the Lord that He may be feared. Praise God. The Lord hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that we would turn and choose life. Amen. Yes. Someone else have the mic up here? Yes.
Yeah, Brother Mel, I really appreciate you going through all of that and, expounding on all those verses. And it's something in my life that there have been times that I've been very, very inspired and really, serious about the reality of, me in Christ and living in heavenly places. And it seems like too often it's so easy for it to be a conceptual thing. Like I can, when I'm thinking about it, then I'm inspired by it, and then it feels really good. But then with the rest of my life, when I'm actually, living life, there's not much of a connection there. And I think Paul meant that our whole lives need to have that reality, like kind of in the back of our minds, or like kind of as a motivational force that changes who we are. And I really want more of that. I want that reality to be changing me constantly. So thank you, Brother Mel. And you all can pray for me for that too.
Amen. Bless you. Peace.
It inspired me just to think, you go back in the days when this was taking place, when the Gentiles came in, what a stir that made. And when Peter went down to Cornelius' house, and I had to think that kind of fits together with what Urban shared here, we see what God is doing and we line up with God. That's what Peter had to do. And that stretched him out of his comfort zone. But he said to the church when he got back home, and he was asked about this, he said, well, who was I? If the Holy Ghost came on them while I was speaking, who was I to not baptize them? And so the Gentiles came in, and God made it very plain that he's accepted them.
Yes.
So I just praise God for that.
Amen. Amen. Yes. He broke down that middle wall of partition and of the twain of the two making one. Praise God. He's still doing that today. Yes, thank you, Lord.